And it's time for Breakthrough Entertainment right here on 1480 AM KPHX. Greg Isaac here alongside Joseph Erdo and Sebastian Noren with us today. You know, usually I don't like country music, except for maybe Johnny Cash, which I don't think this is him, but not bad.
Funny, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good song. Yeah. Save the Whales, right?
There you go.
It's got a message.
Yeah, and I think we'll find that out in a little bit. A lot of reviews today.
Yeah, 7 new releases this weekend.
Yeah, this is, I think, a record in terms of reviews on one show or discussion. Because, you know, sometimes we discuss 7-8 movies, but that includes because we'll have people call in regarding those. But actual reviews, interested to see how many thumbs up we have. Hopefully there's at least some.
I hope so, yeah. We'll find out soon. I mean, and the thing is, these are all interesting movies, at the very least. I don't want to tell you if they're good or bad, but at least they're interesting to talk about. I mean, because some of them we're going to be talking about Lovelace, right, with Amanda Seyfried.
Absolutely.
And We're the Millers, Percy Jackson, and, you know, so a lot of really interesting films, at the very least.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, we'll get started on Blackfish. Before we do, Sebastian, how are you?
Good. I'm really good, actually. Oh. Finally found a new second car.
Oh, wait, what type of car did you get?
Ford Crown Victoria.
Nice.
Yep.
Absolutely. So that's great news there. And so the movies we'll go through today, Blackfish, The Spectacular Now, as you mentioned, Lovelace, Amanda Seyfried. I know she's a big hit here. Prince Avalanche, We're the Millers, Elysium, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, some of the ones you had already mentioned. So, so we'll see how many thumbs up. I'm going to make a prediction that we'll have 4.
Yeah, prediction of 4 thumbs up. How about you, Sebastian? How many thumbs up you think? Those 7.
Well, 5. I think
he's going with 5.
I think you're in a good mood.
You're
Bob
Barkering me right there. Okay, there we go. Eric, how many do you think?
Out of 7?
Yeah.
2.
Whoa. Really?
Ooh,
you think Joseph will be pretty hard this week?
By the way, isn't the Ford Crown Vic the favorite car of the police?
It is.
Yeah, I was pulled over in one of those last week. So, but it was just Sebastian, it turned out. And so Blackfish, lead it away, Joseph.
Blackfish, okay. So this is a documentary. Filmmaker Gabriella Copperwaith documents notorious killer whale Tilikum, who is responsible for the deaths of 3 individuals, thereby showing that sometimes devastating consequences of keeping such intelligent and sentient creatures in captivity. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camelview 5. Have any of you ever been to SeaWorld?
Yes.
Yes? Do you like SeaWorld?
Love
it. No.
Why don't you like SeaWorld?
Too many kids?
What? Okay. I can see that.
I like it. Actually, I haven't been there in a long time, but I liked it when I was little, and I think I'd like it now because, well, the kid thing I like, but also, you know, they have some rides there now and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. I think I went to SeaWorld a long time ago when I was a kid, so probably the kids didn't bother me, but in the fact that it was so busy. I don't know if I've ever really liked you know, the sea creatures aspect and everything, and maybe I would like it more now with rides.
Yeah.
And but
I should add I was hungover.
Oh, so. Well, okay.
Yeah, they were too loud.
Yeah. All screaming kids but that just doesn't help.
Yeah, no, I agree there. Okay.
Well, did you ever see a movie called Project Nim in 2011?
No.
Have you heard of it?
Heard of it, but didn't see it.
Nope.
About the monkey. It was, you know, kind of, I think it killed its captor, gravely injured its captor.
No, I didn't see that.
Monkey.
Wasn't there one about a bear that, like,
I think there was one
that
about
guy?
That, too. Yeah,
yeah, like 10 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, so this is kind of one of those, you know, documentaries that it's about, you know, the whole message is, you know, never capture what you cannot control. That's a tagline for this film. And, you know, as you said, we've seen these other films with bears and monkeys, apes, whatever they want to be called. And, you know, but this is this will absolutely terrify you, this movie. I mean, it's if your career is that of a whale trainer at SeaWorld or some similarly themed amusement park, then and if you continue to want to be that in that career after seeing this movie, then I think that you're pathologically insane. I mean, it's amazing what these whales have done to these, you know, human beings. They're trainers.
I remember one of them, at least, who was one of the head trainers who had been there for a long time. Now, I heard, at least in this story, that, you know, the whale was just trying to play. And
well, a lot of the situations, yes, they're just playing. I mean, it's just like if you're playing with a cat, the cat will bite harder because other cat skin you know, that's harder than ours as human beings.
Right.
You know, so they'll break our skin, and so they'll just bite harder.
So the animals think that. It's like when Siegfried and Roy were playing, and then their lion or tiger saw them playing, so that decided to play with them.
Yep. Yeah. And
I did a Dave joke there. But,
that's the thing, though. I mean, one of those killer whales, I mean, they're humongous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the thing with when you have big wild animals,
and they don't understand that we're not in the water. We can't, you know, we don't have the same strength that they do, and we can't live underwater and stuff like that. So, and a lot of these times, and they show us that, you know, we as humans take their babies away and stuff like that. I mean, for various reasons, at SeaWorld, there's some situations where the whales have had, you know, babies, whatever, baby whales. I don't know what it's called, but they take those away, and then the whales, you know, cry. They have this special sound, and you know that they are upset, and so that stays with them. And there's situations that they've cried for, you know, years and years.
Yeah.
And you know, so then they'll not go insane, but they hold these grudges and stuff like that. They don't understand. And so, you know, this really made me feel compelled to take a firm stand against keeping wild animals in captivity and exploiting them for our entertainment. You know, I don't think that you're going to want to go to SeaWorld after seeing this, because it's gonna be too sad for you. All these people who've lost their lives, all these people who have been, you know, terribly, terribly injured because of these whales. And it's really not the whale's fault. It is our fault as human beings for trying to, you know, do this. It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah, but I mean,
called calves, by the way.
Calves. Oh, calves. Thank you very much. See, homeschoolers.
Yeah, I have Google. I'll use it, I swear.
No, but I mean, I was at the San Diego Zoo not too long ago, and I mean, you know, the lions and everything, they just lay there. You can just tell how bored they are. They're just like, meh.
Right, I mean, absolutely.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're kind of like that in Africa, too, though.
But at least they can roam around and go hunt.
Yeah, a little more room and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so this will absolutely petrify you, even more so than I think a lot of the psychological thrillers that we've seen lately. So I'm giving it a big thumbs up. Close to a breakthrough.
You know, okay.
Personally, I. What's
there's,
that?
Yeah. I said there's one.
Yeah.
There's
one. Yeah, there's one thumbs up. Very, very good.
So Eric needs you to go 1 through 6 and he'll be good.
I know, yeah. And Project Nim was, you know, one of my favorite movies of the year that came out. You know, this is close to a breakthrough. But, you know, so thumbs up. I don't like whales as much as I like monkeys. Not as interesting to
watch. Now, what about sharks?
Sharks, they're
Sharknado.
Kind of
more
fun. Oh. Shark, yeah, no.
Why don't we review that one?
I actually I saw a clip. They had a clip up on Swedish news site.
Yeah.
From Shark Week, and this guy trying to kiss a shark, and the shark bites his mouth.
Probably. Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really stupid.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it was 285 stitches. So.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, that's all.
It, huh? Yeah. I'd be.
Yeah,
I'd
be, I think his whole head would be gone right there.
Plastic surgeries.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to our next film, The Spectacular Now. In this, Miles Teller plays a high school senior who unexpectedly falls in love with a young woman played by Shailene Woodley. You know her, she's from The Descendants, right? And what starts as an unlikely romance becomes a sharp-eyed, straight-up snapshot of the heady confusion and haunting passion of youth, one that doesn't look for tidy truths. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5 as well. Now, Miles Teller, did you see the new Footloose?
Yeah. Project X.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a pretty good young actor.
He is. I think he's excellent in a lot of the things that he does. And, you know, this, he does really well as well. I think he's a terrific actor. And Shailene Woodley, she's great as well. There's a few scenes in this that are dramatically intense, yet oddly lead absolutely nowhere. I think that they might be in the book as well. This is based on a book, and by the way, it was adapted for the screen by the same guys that made 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, okay.
Which I know a lot of people like that. I thought it was okay. I didn't like it as much as everyone else. And this was directed by the same guy that made Smash last year.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that? I think we talked
about Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was
and
a great
she's
film.
In this too.
She is in this. She's not the biggest role, but she does mm-hmm. have a role, and you know she's excellent as well. A lot of great actors in this.
And Brie Larson, yes. 21 Jump Street. She got my attention there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, so this is a deeply felt film that redefines the coming of age experience. You know, it generally avoids the conventions of the genre and instead extracts emotional resonance out of the insecurities of its characters. We all have insecurities, right?
Yeah.
And you know, namely, its male lead. You know, and again, Miles Teller does a great job in this film. And basically, the theme for this movie is to live in the now and take solace in the fact that there is always another now tomorrow. Great theme for, you know, no matter what age you are, mm-hmm. You know, because you always hear that, live in the now. But
yeah.
you got to keep in mind, you know, especially if you're in high school or something, mm-hmm. you know, don't just live for the now. You go to college. I mean, there's always another now tomorrow.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, so I'm giving this a thumbs up as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Eric might be in trouble here.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Uh-oh. Oh, they might all. They
Unless
might
we
all,
go for five. Yeah. Yeah. Sebastian's looking good right
He's
now.
Looking pretty
At the
good
most
now.
Three. Come on.
So I did get to speak with one of the actresses from this film, mm-hmm. Caitlin Dever. She is a Valley. She was born here in the Valley.
Oh, okay.
And she is on the Tim Allen show, Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
one of his daughters on that show. She's in a few other films as well coming out, and I'm sure that we'll have some clips from her about those films. But I asked her to tell me a little bit about the film's theme and what she learned personally from this project, and here's what she said.
So I think the main thing you can learn from watching The Spectacular Now is just learning about growing up and moving on. I feel like Sutter Keeley, he plays a high school senior, so it's not really, like, it is a sort of a coming-of-age story. Like, usually coming-of-age stories are, like, 14 to 16-year-olds, but I still feel like this is still a coming-of-age film because he's worrying about what he wants to do with the rest of his life, and also what Shailene Woodley's character, Amy, you know, what she's going to do with her life. She's going to move on to college, and Sutter, you know, he wants to live in the now, and so I feel like what you learn from it is basically just to follow your instincts. But yeah, that's the one thing that I took away. When I saw the finished product, I really did learn a lot when I finished watching it. And like in the theater, it was so cool to see it like the first time at Sundance in the theater. It was just amazing.
She was a great interview, by the way, and you can read the full interview on breakradioshow.com. Click on the articles, and you can read that full interview with her. A lot of great insight about this role, and again, we'll have some more clips from her as some of her other projects come out in the next month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, great film. Go out and see The Spectacular Now, or Blackfish, or both, at Camelview 5.
Absolutely. Two for two so far. When we come back from our break, looks like Lovelace is up next.
Yes.
So still a lot to go, and we'll see what happens and who wins the thumbs up. Breakthrough Entertainment right here, 1480 AM, KPHX. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Don't want slow walking or sad singing. Let them have a jubilee. I wanna leave a lot of happy women thinking pretty thoughts of me. I wanna live fast, love hard, die young, and leave a beautiful memory. I got a hot rod car and a cowboy suit, and I really do get around.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birum Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
If you do want me, give me a little shelter. If you don't want me, don't leave me on the mud. If you need me, show me that you love me.
I feel like we're back in the 70s now, right here on Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Sebastian Norin. So far, two for two. Blackfish and The Spectacular Now, both thumbs up. And time for Lovelace, which, of course, as you know, based on Linda Lovelace. Yeah. Great cast in this. And Joseph, how was it?
Yeah, okay. So Lovelace, Amanda Seyfried plays Linda Lovelace, a woman who is used and abused by the porn industry at the behest of her coercive husband, played by Peter Sarsgaard, before taking control of her life. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Shea 14. As you said, there's a huge cast in this. Mm-hmm. Some of them, Wes Bentley.
Yeah.
Who else? Name some of the
James
others.
Franco, James Franco, who played Hugh Hefner, which was interesting, because at the time, Hefner would have been about 44, and Franco looks nothing like that. Juno Temple, Chris Knight. Of course, Hank Azaria.
Yes, he plays the director of Deep Throat.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adam Brody, who of course plays Harry Reams. But Sarsgaard's a great actor. And Sharon Stone, you can't even recognize her in this one.
Right. And, did you ever see Deep Throat?
I didn't.
You didn't?
But I've seen Lovelace, but I'll say what I say after you say what you say.
Oh, you've seen Lovelace?
I did see it yesterday.
Okay. Yes. All right. So, I've never seen Deep Throat, but I have seen Lovelace. I find it tasteless, pointless, and completely irrelevant. This is a huge disappointment for me for multiple reasons. One, just thematically and cinematically, I thought that it squanders the potential of both its subject and its cast. It separates the story into two distinctly different points of view. The first is filtered through the glitz and glamour of the porn industry. I found that part almost as exploitative as its source material. In the second half of the film, is it's meant to be kind of like a hard punch of truth to the gut. It stops short of the segment where, you know, Amanda Seyfried, who does okay here, but later in the film, they skip something where she really could act. She really could show her full range of her acting abilities and the emotional impact experienced by this woman that she portrayed. I'm giving this a huge thumbs down. Most of all, I'm disappointed because, you know, of course, for anyone out there listening, mm-hmm. Amanda Seyfried is nude in this. No full frontal nudity, but she is topless in this
film.
You're
disappointed because of that? What?
I was disappointed because I have this image of Amanda Seyfried who would not do this. And now I hear stories of her going to premieres and stuff like that where she's not wearing a bra and doing all these crazy...
I gotta start going to these premieres then.
She's doing all these...
women's lib.
Wow.
She's doing all these crazy things like Anne Hathaway does.
But the thing is, you know, in some of her other movies, she hasn't worn much or nothing at all. But yeah. I guess... I like that part of it.
You like that part of it? Okay, and did you like the movie?
The first half I did.
Okay.
Not the second.
Oh, you like the exploitative part.
Well, here's what I got to say. The actors in general, I mean, well, I thought Amanda Seyfried did well, you know. And Sarsgaard, I think, is one of the more underrated actors out there. Because a lot of people, when you say his name, will go, wait, who? And then you got to bring up some of the movies, Empire and... was the one he was just the bad guy in, the superhero
he's,
one?
He,
oh, the green something. Yeah, that's
green
true.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. But I thought Adam Brody really stole a lot of the scenes he was in as Harry Reams. He was hilarious. So the beginning, which was the funnier part, I did like. Mm-hmm. When it got serious and really showed the story, now obviously because of what happened to her, you know, with what her husband did. And what's interesting is Chuck ended up marrying Marilyn Chambers, who was, like, the second biggest porn star. Mm-hmm. I pointed that out then. And she passed away a couple of years ago, actually, I believe. But Hank Azaria. So the cast part, I love that, the beginning, the parts of the middle. But then really when the serious issues and it showed the life, I understand because it's based on true events and it's dramatic stuff, so you mm-hmm. can't make that funny, and I get that. But just... the way it kind of dragged, I think, going towards the end.
It is
so
kind
I
of
agree.
Boring, yeah.
I wouldn't call it a big thumbs down, but a thumbs down. I wouldn't see it again, or at least not the second half. Now, when James Franco came in, I got excited. One of my favorite actors playing Hugh Hefner. Thinking, but at this time in 1970, Hugh Hefner would have been about 44.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they tried to make Franco a little older, and I thought he did it pretty well. What a young Hugh Hefner would be, but I don't think they utilized that well enough either. Maybe add a little more of that, and there's some other stuff they could have done. But yeah, I'd agree. I was disappointed.
And of course, if you don't feel like going out to Harkin Shea 14, and you want to
watch it at home.
Yeah, you can watch
it at
home.
That's what I did, yeah.
Video on demand, of course.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, cool, but it might also say something about this movie, why, you know, it's a thumbs down. I was very disappointed in Amanda Seyfried, again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have this huge image of her that, you know, she's just like this, such an innocent young woman. She's in Red Riding Hood
and
Mamma Mia.
And she played
the
innocent young woman here, really. I mean, then it turns out, you know, she'd open her mouth, but... But the thing is, the movie with Chloe with Julianne Moore.
That was another one that I hated, even though she was in it.
The movie itself kind of sucked, but especially that one scene with Julianne Moore. I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with that.
I forgot that she was in that. Yeah. See, so I'm
now I've warped your mind even more.
Well, you know what? She's losing me. I'm gonna have to find a new imaginary girlfriend.
There you go.
But so the theme of this, of course, is the glitz and glamour of the pornography industry is merely an illusion. I think that everyone already knows that. So we don't need this movie to kind of nail it home.
Right.
Or you can always probably read Linda Lovelace's book.
And speaking of the pornography business, how did I forget the name? Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
Say the movie. Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
I can't believe I forgot. One of my favorite movies. And that was great because the way the whole story went, the humor, everything that was involved, but it didn't drag, and it was a long movie, but they just had new things happening, and it was one of my favorites. But if they wanted to go, you know, I know this is based on her story, it's a little different, but maybe if they filmed it a little similar to that, how that was, more character development, maybe that would have been better.
Yeah, I like Boogie Nights, so I'll agree with that. And one of my favorite scenes in the film was with Wes Bentley's character.
Oh, yeah.
He has a very, very small scene, and, you know, I got a chance to talk to him a couple weeks ago about The Time Being that we reviewed on a couple Thursdays ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did ask him about his character in this, and here's what Wes Bentley had to say.
I play a photographer who's shooting what's going to turn out to be the poster for Deep Throat, and it's kind of a rare moment for her to be with a man who's not sort of being a jerk or being aggressive to her, taking advantage of her. He's more somebody who's trying to get her to open up emotionally, and so it's kind of a cool little scene.
Yeah, and it was one of the more more emotional scenes, and it kind of really shows you. You know, it goes beyond the simple theme. And so I really like that scene. I wish they would have had a little more of that. You know, these men who were treating her right.
Right.
And, you know, kind of like a little breakthrough in her own mind.
Absolutely.
That, you know, that she doesn't need to put up with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, thumbs down from both of us. Bigger thumbs down from me than you.
And that was the other thing, is even though it dragged, it would go ahead 6 years and another 6 years and then kind of go back. And I could follow that well. The thing is, it's just the way it happened. They could have done things differently.
Yes. Okay. And a little less interesting here, but still got a couple of good characters, good actors. Prince Avalanche, Paul Rudd, and Emile Hirsch, or as the news the other day said, Emily Hirsch. I don't know why these people do this. But anyway, Paul Rudd and Emile Hirsch, I almost did it.
Brad Doty.
Right. Play highway road workers who spend the summer of 1988 away from their city lives. The isolated landscape becomes a place of misadventures as the men find themselves at odds with each other and the women that they left behind. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Valley Yard, and this one's also on video on demand, so if you want to stay at home and rent
this one. With Paul Rudd's mustache in this, he should have been in Lovelace.
Yes.
Look at that thing.
He does not look like Paul Rudd in this movie. It's kind of surprising. Both actors do really, you know, well, I think, in this film.
Yeah.
The problem here is there's really not much of a plot to Prince Avalanche. And, you know, what the meaning, if any, that the title possesses is anybody's guess, because even after having endured this movie, which, again, was, I forgot to mention that this is from writer-director David Gordon Green, who's made a few strange movies like Your Highness, right?
Yeah. And I love that, though.
I wouldn't be surprised. And also Undertow, which I loved back when he was making really good movies.
I didn't see that, but I'll have to check that out.
Really, that's a dramatic movie, excellent, completely the opposite of Your Highness.
Right.
This is kind of like a mashup of both of, you know, what David Gordon Green wants to make. It's kind of got those darker themes, but you've got the bigger actors, or Undertow had some decent actors in as well, you know, it's kind of quirky and stuff like that, and almost a comedy. So it's a dramedy, but I'm still unsure as to exactly how to describe what this movie is about. The theme here is nature has a way of kind of rejuvenating itself, even when everything burns down in our lives from what we have had before. There are new beginnings. That is a very admirable theme, you know, but unfortunately, this movie is so, so slow.
Oh.
There's nothing to it. I mean, it's just these two guys. There are basically four actors in this entire movie, and two of them have, you know, one, there's a woman who's walking around. We don't know if she's a ghost or, you know, what. Very few scenes. And then there's a crazy alcoholic guy who just shows up for a few scenes to drink some alcohol and offer up some alcohol to these two guys. I love these two actors, but unfortunately, this is another movie that kind of does not do their talent justice. You know, I just found it a meanderingly idiosyncratic exercise in the effects of loneliness and isolation. I'm giving this one a thumbs down as well.
Oh.
So Eric might not
Eric
be too far off.
Might have a chance. Look at this. Yeah. Wow.
So unfortunately, I cannot recommend that one.
Even with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, even with Paul Rudd.
So sometimes the acting, even if it's great, no matter what you do, it's just with the screenplay.
Yes, the screenplay is a story. I don't really think there was much of a story here.
There's not much we can do with it, really.
Now, the one cool thing, parallel.
You didn't like Your Highness?
I didn't.
That was hilarious.
No.
Sebastian, did you see that?
It was funny the first time.
I remember at the screening, the press screening for it, it broke like the last 5 minutes. And everyone was like, well, we just sat here and watched this terrible movie. Now we don't even get to see how it ends. Is this like a good thing? Or?
Wow.
But of course, it didn't matter. But we did see the end, unfortunately. But it's just this is an enigma because there's really nothing to the movie, unfortunately. But now I will say a parallel to The Valley is, you know, since we had that big fire up in Yarnell, that's why they are fixing the road in this movie.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, because there was a big fire.
Right.
I think it's based on, like, a true story. And you know, these guys are out there fixing the roads, getting things back to normal. And so that's kind of where the theme comes in. That even when everything burns down, nature kind of has a way to rebuilding itself. So You know, it might be worth a look, but I really don't think so.
Interesting. Okay, so two for four so far.
Yes.
Tied up at two. Eric so far still looking good. Sebastian's going to need to go perfect from here on out. I need 2 out of 3. We have We're the Millers coming up next. Jason Sudeikis after the break coming up here right now. This is Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg Isaac.
And Paul Rudd, of course, was on Friends. So.
Oh, absolutely. And Joseph Erdo, Sebastian Norrin, and we'll have some Jennifer Aniston coming up as well after the break, right here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Rising towards the sun, a voice whispers, I'm the only one who will teach us how to keep the thoughts we make.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Sebastian Noren here. And so far, four movies reviewed, two thumbs up, two thumbs down.
Yes.
And so we'll see what happens. Sebastian needs all three of these to be thumbs up to win the little contest we have.
Yes.
Eric needs 0 for 3. I need 2 for 3. We're the Millers. Jason Sudeikis, Jennifer Aniston, Emma Roberts, Joseph.
Yes, we're the Millers. This is Jason Sudeikis plays a veteran pot dealer who, by the way, pot dealer you can see on our breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner. Who's the pot dealer in the poster for We're the Millers?
That's, of course, Dave Isaac.
Yes.
And what we should do is hook up Michael Beasley with Jason Sudeikis' character here. That might help him out a bit.
So anyway, Jason Sudeikis plays a veteran pot dealer who creates a fake family as part of his plan to move a huge shipment of weed into the U.S. from Mexico. As you said, Jennifer Aniston, Emma Roberts, Will Poulter, Ed Helms, and Nick Offerman also star in this. This is easily one of the funnier movies of 2013.
Good.
Yes.
I figured you
guys
would be
2 weeks ago I said I thought this would be?
Yes.
Because, okay, go ahead.
And I'm hoping that that Eric listens and takes our advice on this, that this is a thumbs up. I will say it's a thumbs up.
Good.
The trailer looks very funny.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not, I know that, Greg, you like This Is the End, and Eric, you did not like This Is the End, not at all. He's very upset there. But but this is...
Or
this,
Your Highness.
Right. No. Gosh.
Oh,
no.
Man.
So, but this is definitely a very funny movie. You know, it's got an outstandingly original premise. It's got a lot of lewd jokes. And, you know, it will leave you laughing out loud from beginning to end. And, I mean, I love the cast in this.
Yeah.
You know, even some of the supporting players, like I said, Ed Helms and Nick Offerman and some of the other people as well.
Thomas Lennon, Luis Guzman, who's everywhere, it seems like.
Yes, yeah. And, by the way, the actor who steals this movie is Will Poulter.
Oh, okay.
Some of his scenes.
The kid, right?
Yes,
yeah.
he's the kid, and you know, he's in the trailers for the movie. You will see him singing the song that will close out our show, Waterfalls.
Yeah.
He knows the whole rap scene and that. Do you know the whole rap scene, Sebastian?
Nope.
No.
You don't know the whole. You don't know all those lyrics. Neither do I. I'm just giving you a hard time. Glad you don't know them. But anyway, you know, this is one of the year's few comedies that actually clicks. You know, the thing that ups the ante even further is that, you know, you've got all these raunchy jokes, you know, like American Pie and all these things.
I mean, yeah.
They show at one point one of the characters' genitals get bit by a spider and they swell up gigantically.
Oh, well, good for them.
It's Will Poulter again, by the way.
Oh,
so
okay.
poor guy. And you might know him from Chronicles of Narnia, the third one.
No, Voyage I haven't seen Trudger. Any of those.
No, you're
no.
lucky. Okay.
Yes.
But,
sorry, Will.
But it's got this really crass sense of humor, but it's also got this surprisingly sweet message about different dysfunctional people coming together to somehow form a family that is far more functional than most. That is the theme here. You know, and I think that we've seen that in a lot of movies where you can go through what's that space movie with Tim Allen?
Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because they're really dysfunctional people, but then they kind of form a group. I mean, Dave, I'm sure would really talk about Star Trek. I think he's even made that comment before.
He probably will. That's why it's good he's not here.
Yes, but you know, all these very. Normally dysfunctional people, they form this group and somehow they just function more than, you know, most of us in our own lives, you know, our own families. So this is a big thumbs up. I mean, it's pretty close to Breakthrough, you know, because it is very funny. It's very sweet. It's a little bit long. It felt long while I was watching it. It's a little less than 2 hours, but for some reason it just felt a little bit, you know, extended.
Right.
But I loved it. So I think that you will like it.
Yeah.
Greg.
No, I think so. I mean, just from the trailer, the cast, and you know, just in general, if it's that type of humor, I love that. So
let's go watch.
Good. Let's do that, Sebastian. Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis is excellent too, by the way, in a lot of the things.
Oh,
wasn't
great.
He in Hall Pass?
Hall Pass was hilarious. Horrible Bosses.
Yes.
Anything he's in.
One of the more underrated Saturday Night Live players. Recently.
He is, because a lot of people don't even realize that he was on there, and I think he's off now, or maybe this past year.
Yeah, I think that he just announced that he's done. Yeah. And of course, Emma Roberts. She's always cute.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Except if she has a knife.
Right. Oh, she's kind of. Yeah, that's true. Don't spoil that. Nobody heard that. But
that's why I leave it at that. Yes. I don't say anything else.
Right. But she's also kind of strange here in this. She's got some scenes where she's got like this nose ring and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And of course, Jennifer Aniston in this, she plays a stripper.
Yeah, right? Very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I never found her that attractive, though.
Really?
Yeah, you did?
I do. I mean, she's not in my top three or five. Oh, okay. Like other people have her and stuff like that.
I think she's cute, but
yeah, no, she's hot.
Yeah. So you get to see her as a stripper in a few scenes.
Really?
And there's...
Well, I'm going to actually go watch the movie now.
Sebastian,
let's head out.
And you'll want to hear about these other two movies coming up here in a few moments. But by the way, I can't say it on the air, but Jennifer Aniston, she's got a stripper friend. Well, not really friend, but one of her coworkers.
Oh.
Her nickname that she has tattooed on herself is a really interesting nickname.
Really? Well, speaking of interesting nicknames and names for things, because we were talking about Jennifer Aniston and then Your Highness earlier, of course, her fiance, Justin Theroux. The word that he uses for what he wants to do to Zooey Deschanel in Your Highness. I love that. And I always go around saying it. And sometimes
It works?
They go, what are you talking about? Yeah, I can say the Aning part, but just not what comes before. But,
yeah, just I can say the nickname is
Garage.
But you
got to admit at least that was funny, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
there we go.
There were funny moments. But
nah, I know.
Yeah. But this you've got the funny moments, you've got the heart, you've got the story, you've got the actors. It all comes together brilliantly. Again, I love this. We're the Millers. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up. So another film, another option, one of the bigger releases is Elysium.
Yes.
Sebastian's excited about this one.
I am so pumped for this movie.
You are?
Yeah.
You're a fan of District 9 then?
Yes, I love District 9.
Yes, yeah. Okay. I like District 9 except for when it was nominated for an Oscar. I did not feel that it deserved that nomination. I think that was a year when the Oscars were trying to a bunch of different things to get more people to watch. But in Elysium, this is Matt Damon. He plays a man who, in the year 2154, where the very wealthy live on a man-made space station while the rest of the population resides on a ruined Earth, takes on a mission that could bring equality to the polarized worlds. Jodie Foster co-stars, and as well as the guy who played the main guy in District 9. Cartel Shopley or something like that? Something, a strange name.
Copley. Chartel Copley. Yeah, there we go.
He's got a really strange voice in this movie, and I will just start by saying that the ADR work, the voiceover work for his character is some of the worst ADR work I've ever heard. It does not sound like it's coming out
of
his mouth.
Did you do the voice for us?
No, I can't. It's just so strange because
it doesn't match his mouth.
It doesn't match his mouth, and it doesn't look like the character. Mm-hmm. And it's literally every line must have been recorded in a studio and not on the scene because it sounds like it's coming from a completely different direction. You know, so I'll just start a technical note. That's terrible. And he's a big piece of the movie as well. He's because he's the bad guy in this, where he was the good guy in the other movie.
Yeah.
So the first 30 minutes of Elysium is absolutely brilliant. It's got this socio-political message about immigration and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the theme here in a moment. But
I know where this is going.
Yeah. As soon as I say the first 30 minutes.
Sorry, Sebastian.
Right. Yeah. It quickly and continuously devolves during its second and third acts. Again, this is written and directed by Neil Blomkamp, who brought us District 9. But I think that he was really trying to make an action movie here as opposed to just a message movie.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people maybe criticize the first one as being too much of a message movie. I thought it did a really good job.
Yeah, it was a great message movie.
Yeah. And but this one, in the beginning, it possesses the sociopolitical significance of that earlier effort. But later on, there's a moment in this movie, which I think they show in the trailer, and you see it on the poster for the movie. Yeah. Matt Damon gets surgically outfitted with a robotic exoskeleton. Does that excite you,
yes,
Sebastian?
Yes. It does.
That's what appeals to you about this movie? Okay. That is the moment that the movie completely lost me. They surgically outfit him with this robot thing that, because he's dying. He's got, this disease. Something happens to him earlier. He's exposed to some radiation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he's about to die in like 4 days, I think, what it is. And so he's got to make this deal, and he puts on – he gets these guys to put the suit on him. And it gets really, really bizarre. It gets way too bizarre. And then it constantly switches gears from a heist thriller to a chase drama and ultimately hand-to-hand combat flick, which, again, I'm thinking that all appeals to Sebastian, the way he's really jumping
Sounds
up and down here.
Awesome.
Sounds awesome to him. To me, you know, I wish that they would have had more of a message, though. Because none of it emulate even a molecule of the impressive meaning that made up the motion picture's profound prologue, the beginning, the first 30 minutes of this movie. You know, even if you weren't a science fiction fan, because I'm not that big of a science fiction fan. I've said that before.
Right.
You probably are,
either.
Right?
Yeah.
Somewhat. Okay.
Somewhat.
I'm not, you know, it takes a lot for me to get interested in these science fiction movies. And the beginning of this movie, it did not seem like a science fiction movie at all. You know, yes, it was 2154. Yes, the ruined Earth and we were living on the space station and all this stuff. But it felt really grounded in reality and it felt grounded in a message that we could all relate to. But unfortunately, it just became really weird, and then it turned into this action movie. So I'm giving it a big, big, big thumbs down.
A big thumbs
big
down.
Thumbs
big,
down.
Big.
Big, big.
Not just a thumbs down.
I'm still going to go see it.
Right.
I'm sure. And you might like it, especially if those things appeal to you. But, I really like the theme in this movie. I wish they would have done more with it. Because, like I said, there are a lot of meanings to this movie. They could have expanded upon a lot of them. Like I said, the immigration thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the space station, they make it only the wealthy live there, as I said before. But they can cure anyone of any disease, cancer.
Okay.
If you got a broken bone, I mean, they lay you on this bed thing, and this like wand goes over you, and you are cured within minutes or seconds. It seems like in the movie, at least. And but of course, that kind of like the health care here. Only the wealthiest get the best care. The rest, who cares if they die. So we're smart enough to build the technology to make a globalized planet, yet we are not smart enough to get rid of the ancient software that governs us. You know, our government here, we're probably going to get people upset and they're going to call us. But the government here, they are so down on, the people who aren't wealthy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so whether you are an illegal immigrant or if you just, aren't...
Well, some of the government,
the
party that controls Congress right now.
Right. So, it's just disappointing that they didn't do more with this theme because it's very fruitful. It's a very ripe theme.
Right. No, absolutely. I'm not big into science fiction, but because of the theme and, Matt Damon fan. I mean, in the Bourne movies, he's great. So I think I'll still check it out. But I can see what you mean, though, if you're not into the sci-fi stuff and maybe they should have the message kind of keep going.
Right. And it disappoints me as well that Matt Damon is doing this instead of another Bourne movie.
Right.
Because they just announced that, they're going to do another one.
Well, I want to see another Team America. I thought he was great in that.
Yeah. Matt Damon. Yeah. And so, hopefully he does some other... I think they're already planning a sequel for this or something like
okay.
that. I don't know. I know that they are working on a District 10 or whatever, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to make sure that he did this independent movie in between. So again, thumbs down. So we've got one movie left. So who is losing? Who's winning? What's going on?
I'm losing.
And Eric's long gone.
You're losing? Yep. Right? Oh, because you said
it's only Greg who has
I
a
have
shot
a chance here.
Right?
We need Percy Jackson to be good. And this is the first time Eric has lost a competition with us or a contest. He's been perfect the last couple weeks.
I'm usually pretty good at it.
What happened?
A little bit of an off day today.
I don't know.
It will bounce back.
Coffee? I don't know.
There we go.
I have to ask, though, how was Diego Luna in this?
He's really good. I like him as an actor, and he does a great job here. He's not in a lot of the movie. That's all I will say, but his scenes are excellent.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
So. And he's in the better part of the movie, I will say. Even once it's
okay.
I don't know if we really see Diego Luna doing hand-to-hand combat and stuff like that. So obviously he's not in those kind of scenes. But let's move on to Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Did you like the first one?
I didn't see the first one.
You didn't?
I didn't even know there was a first one.
Eric?
Percy Jackson.
No thanks.
No thanks? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
But you liked the first one, right?
I love the first one.
I remember
one.
You talked about that. So let's hope you love this one, too.
For your sake, because you want to win. So Percy.
But there's no prize.
Right. We could do the whole... this time Eric can do the message on your answering machine like Carl Castle, right? Okay. He agrees. He'll do that. All right. So Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Of course, the first one came out, I believe, in 2010. It's a family film based on a film... children's book or young adult book series, and it's kind of like you think Harry Potter or Chronicles of Narnia for the Greek, you know, mythology.
Percy Jackson.
Yes. Logan Lerman reprises his role as the son of Poseidon, who, in order to restore their dying safe haven, embarks on a quest to the Sea of Monsters to find the mythical Golden Fleece and to stop an ancient evil from rising. I love the first one.
Uh-oh.
This is a big thumbs up. It's close to a breakthrough.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Wow. I love this film as well. You know, watching Percy Jackson Sea of Monsters is like riding every attraction in an amusement park without ever leaving the movie theater.
Really?
You know, so if you went through this this summer without going to Disneyland or any amusement parks.
Watch this.
Definitely. Go see this with your kids. You know, even if you don't have kids. You know, right. I don't like Harry Potter, and when I say that, you know, people always look at me strange. You know, how could you not like Harry Potter?
I just tell
I'm with you.
I'm with you too. I tell people I don't even know who he is.
I've seen the first Harry Potter movie. That's the only one I've
Although
seen.
Although that Emma Watson, though, has really grown up.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, but yeah, I haven't seen any of the movies.
I've endured all of the Harry Potters.
In fact, when the first one or first two came out, it was my senior year at high school, I believe, 2003, and I was working at, you know, a video store at night.
Yeah.
And we would have to put it in when it first came out to DVD. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, no, I can't do this. So then I would take it out. I remember once I put me, myself, and Irene in, and there's the chicken part. One of the customers is like, what are you guys watching? And I'm like, I guess the other person working here put it in. I'll have to go talk to him right now. Then we had to put Harry Potter back in. It was terrible.
Well, I would give, you know, I would say me, myself, and Irene any day over Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
But I would say Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters over me and myself and Irene, you know, completely different movies.
Yeah.
Apples and Oranges,
yeah.
Of course. But, you know, this is good for families. This is good for adults. Mm-hmm. You know, again, this is really, the interesting thing about this movie is that it does feel like a series of amusement park rides, like roller coasters, water rides, and there's a scene where the characters get inside of a taxi and the taxi goes real fast.
Yeah.
And I mean, you kind of like the theater feels like it's moving. It's in 3D. Some excellent 3D in this movie. Mm-hmm. At one point, they are on the ocean and they're, you know, circling it's a monster drain. It's got a mouth. And, you know, but they're circling it like a whirlpool.
Do you think this is a must see in 3D versus seeing it just in regular 2D?
I would say. Because I still do have a hard time with the 3D.
Yeah.
If you have a ticket that is good for 3D or an upgrade or something like that, then go see it. But I honestly cannot, you know, still, even though this is one of the better 3D movies, I cannot recommend going to spend, you know, even
so
especially if you are going to have
kids. So people
still
like it and have that type of amusement park experience?
Right, yeah. You're still, yeah, you're not going to need the 3D in order to have the amusement park experience because, you know, it's the visuals in the movie. It's it's a movie that really pulls you into the action. And, you know, even if you don't know what's going on, and they make it really easy to, really accessible. You know, even if you have no idea about the first book or the first movie, if you're new to this franchise, if you don't know anything about Greek mythology, you're still going to really have a good time watching this movie. And I think that's the point of this movie, is, you know, just to give you a good time. You know, again, you don't have to like Harry Potter, you know, stuff like that. You don't have to like these fantasy films for young adults to like this movie. It's a universally entertaining motion picture, probably the most of the summer, I would say. So that's, as I said, pretty close to a thumbs up because it is so much fun. You're taking on an adventurous array of roller coasters in rapid succession while also being hit with just a splash of spiritual sensibility, just a little bit. Nothing overwhelming, you know, but there is a message to it. We make our own destiny. You know, it's a great message, you know, for families, right?
Yeah,
for kids.
Sure.
And, of course, I got a chance to speak with Alexandra Daddario earlier this year for her work in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. Don't watch that one.
She got chainsawed.
Yes. Well, okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Right. It was not
eyes.
A good movie. Yeah, she's cute actress,
right? Wow,
those
eyes are like, it's like Zooey Deschanel type eyes, like these blue eyes that are, I'll be back.
Oh, okay. you're like... some sort of like, who's this, a Medusa? Did you just look
she's
at
doing
oh,
no. it.
Yeah,
look at her IMDb picture.
She got those, what's those?
Something
called?
About those.
She's got blue eyes.
Wow.
Yeah,
she looks like evil, but
hot and
nice at the same
white
time.
White Walker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I got a chance to talk to her earlier this year, but I did sneak in a question about Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
There you go.
And yeah, of course. And here's what I asked her. I asked her about her takeaway from this entire franchise and this experience. Here is what she said.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about the second one. I went blonde for it this time because the girl in the book is blonde. And I'm just really excited about it. I love being a part of that franchise. I love the fan base. I love making the movies and the people I work with, and it's been great. I think being part of the franchise and playing the character, like, it reminds me of when I was, you know, 12 and 13 and would wait outside of Broadway shows and wait for autographs, and how inspired I was by people and when I was getting into acting. And, you know, I see sometimes with some of the fan base, like, that I actually have the ability to inspire people, and that's absolutely incredible to play a character that's based on a book that everyone knows and that is someone that, you know, in a way people already look up to just based on the books. I mean, it's sort of incredible, and I think that's part of it. And also, I think it just being part of that film, you know, really changed my career, and I think it's made me a stronger person.
And I think just watching the movie will make you a stronger person as well. It's got those messages and stuff like
just
that.
Just looking at her eyes will.
And, you know, so definitely, like I said, go see Percy Jackson, yeah. Sea of Monsters. That'll make you want to go out and rent the first one as well. So if you're in the mood for adventure, go see that one. If you're in the mood for something meaningful, then go see Blackfish. If you want to laugh, then go see We're the Millers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
if you
want to
see Matt Damon kick some butt, go see Elysium.
Absolutely.
With me.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, is that an invitation?
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Elysium, of course, when it comes to the box office, it's going to finish first.
Oh,
and,
terrible.
It probably won't do as well as District 9 did back in 2009. Mm-hmm. Of course, finishing second, a film that I may see later today with the little guy. Well,
oh.
No, yeah,
okay.
Today's Mason Day, so
okay.
In fact,
Smurfs?
Not the Smurfs,
Should.
Planes. Which I'll bring up a little bit on Thursday, and then, of course, We're the Millers and Percy Jackson come in right after that. At least with We're the Millers, because not just your review, Joseph, but it seems like a lot of people have been saying even before this came out that this could be that comedy hit that, you know, word of mouth will really get more people out there. So I think that's going to stay consistent, you know, obviously because of, you know, some of the other films that won't hit number one this week and, you know, in the future. But it might stay consistent and end up being a pretty big hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one question. Mm-hmm. Why did Poseidon name his son Percy Jackson?
Percy Jackson. Here's the little plane shoes, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think you can fit in those. yeah, Sebastian was thinking of that image. I don't know. Why did he name him Percy Jackson?
Yeah.
I have no idea. He also had a Cyclops son as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So oh, yeah.
Like half brothers. I don't remember the name.
What a deformity.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know.
I just keep thinking about the Cyclops from Harold and Kumar. That guy was scary.
Yes.
That poor little Cyclops.
Yeah, yeah. That's sad. Yeah. So, of course, next week we'll have more reviews. The Butler, The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan, of course.
Oh.
Dealing with Idiots, Jobs, and another film I don't know if we want to say on the air, but it's a sequel.
Kick-Ass 2.
Yes.
Very
absolutely.
Good.
So, you know, good week next week as well. We will talk all
we
about
we just
those.
Can't say the name of Christopher Mintz-Plasse's character in that.
Yes. There, yeah.
So. Begins with Mother. So, I'm looking forward to that because I loved the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was great.
Yes, and so, of course, Waterfalls from We're the Millers.
Ah,
worth seeing it just for this scene alone.
Absolutely, and this has been Breakthrough Entertainment. Thank you again, Joseph Erdo, Sebastian Noren. We'll be sticking around for Real Hockey Talk. There's going to be two Dave Isaacs on the air shortly. Dave Isaac from Philly, and then, of course, this Dave Isaac from Phoenix calling in. And the debut, Paige DeMacos, will be joining us as well for the next 2 hours. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.